This is CliffCentral.com.
Right, you know, before you came in, Justice Malala, we were talking about how fantastic you are.
Yes, we really were.
Mm. Saying that you are the foremost and the most erudite of all our political analysts, and that you've never left the studio, and we've gone, huh, well, we didn't really need to know that.
Mm.
Not on any given occasion.
Jeez, man.
But I see you're so busy at the moment. I mean, you're on every TV news network. They all need you. Except the SABC don't use you so much. I noticed that. But then I did say news network. I didn't say propaganda machine. So that's probably why. And I see you going through these Ipsos polls every week, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you about that in a second. You've got your own agenda points. I've already let everybody know what you've got planned for us this morning. So let's not waste a single second. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the Burning Platform with Justice Malala.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
That's right. Every week we look at some of the most important things that are going on in the country. And Justice enables even the most stupid of us, like me, to understand the more intricate and confusing details of this beautiful and infuriating game called politics, which our president is currently the Game of Thrones, Iron Throne holder, title holder of. I mean, if there were a Game of Thrones, this guy has got it all lined up.
You know, you started by talking about the SABC. So let's talk about that, because the Game of Thrones analogy is fantastic for the SABC.
Yeah.
Think about it, huh? The head of communications of the ANC says, not in my name, not in our name, the African National Congress doesn't stand
right
for what's going on at the SABC.
And what does he go? He goes...
Exactly. The NWC, National Working Committee of the ANC, these are the top five people, say that's the last word. What the ANC has said on this is it. And then what is going to happen now at the SABC? Is Claudio Mutsoneng, is anything going to happen to Claudio Mutsoneng?
You left out ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority, a Chapter 9 institution.
Exactly.
Didn't these they say that they need to change their editorial policy?
And exactly. The people at ICASA have the power to withdraw your license to broadcast on public airwaves.
Exactly.
And what does he do?
No, look, listen to this. He calls a press conference, okay? I know there were other people wearing, you know, super sport t-shirts and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But this was the SABC chair, by the way.
Yeah.
Halala, my president, halala. Halala, Limpopo, halala. Halala, Gauteng, halala. Halala, KwaZulu-Natal, halala. Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Halala, Cliff Central. Now, so ICASA, let me tell you something, guys. I think we speak about this. I'm telling you, one day, you guys are going to be sitting there in your rocking chairs remembering me. And say, Justice Malala said, because I'm telling you, once you start ignoring... What month are we? July.
Mm-hmm.
You remember last year in June, the Pretoria High Court says to the President of South Africa, there is a wanted criminal in South Africa. His name is Omar al-Bashir.
Yes.
He is here, and because we signed the Rome Statute and the ICC, he's a wanted man. This man is wanted for killing 300,000 of his own people, right? A court in South Africa, an institution that is key to this democracy, says, make sure he stays here one night so that we can make up our minds exactly whether he stays or goes.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Blue lights, go to Ottakloof Air Force Base.
Spirit him away.
They spirit him away. So when the court says... If I'm a young woman in Mabopane Township, and I go to the courts, and I say, you know, there's this, my boyfriend is terrible and he's beating me up. The courts issue a thing, it's called a protection order. Now, if at the very top, no one listens to the courts, Claudio Mutsoneng doesn't listen to ICASA, what happens at the magistrate court level? Oh, Mr. Boyfriend Malala is just going to walk around saying, protection order, what's that? I don't care. This is the problem here. That people, we need a law. Mabala, we need a champion, okay? What you need to do is say, from now on, ICASA issues a thing, yeah? And it's all good, it's all fine. But if you're going to use taxpayers' money to, as Saudi said, we are going to be taking this straight to the Constitutional Court. How many things exactly has the SABC taken straight to the Constitutional Court? The public protector says, you got to get out of the job. He's sitting there. Every institution is being ignored. So what are we doing here when we set up institutions, independent institutions? I'm not saying people shouldn't appeal certain things, but it seems now that, oh, you know, it's not my money, it's taxpayers' money, I'm just going to appeal.
So when we're in that rocking chair one day, what will we remember? Justice warned us about this.
You will remember, and you'll be sitting there. Justice said, we must respect the institutions, because the institutions are the thing. Imagine if... Okay.
Faith Mutambi, by the way, she didn't even bother to pitch up at Lutuli House to be reprimanded.
Wait. Faith, it's not, we'll get to old Faith.
Sorry.
But
I don't mean to distract you.
The thing is this. So if what ICASA says is, you know, let's forget about it, then I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to speak to Mr. Flax over there. We're going to go across the road and set up a station on...
89.3 FM or whatever.
89.3 FM.
Yeah.
You know what? We're just going to do it. And no one must come and arrest me. Because Saudi can ignore the ICASA. Why should I be different from him? Or is it because he's friends with number one? Because we know.
Well, there's Saudi. There's Tom Moyani, who won't leave his post, despite the fact that his own boss, Pravin Gordhan, doesn't want him there, because he's protected by number one. There's Dudu Mieni. We'll get to that in a second, too, SAA. And now Saudi. I mean, and there's one other one.
Hawks.
And Richard Mdluli.
There's Richard Mdluli. There's Benning and Tlemeza, the Hawks.
And the kings of all networking, the Guptas.
Don't forget that if... today, you have done something terrible. The people who decide whether you get prosecuted or not are the National Prosecuting Authority.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? They're appealing the judgment that said President Zuma must go to court and face 783 counts of fraud, racketeering.
Isn't it their job? It's their job to prosecute, not to defend the president.
They are using taxpayers' money to appeal. That's what they're doing. So when you talk about Game of Thrones and so forth and so forth, I think you have a perfect example here. SABC, as you said, SAA, the Hawks, NPA, all of them. The ANC, what I'd like to... I mean, you should listen to what Guedeman Tasha said. It's beautiful, man. It's so beautiful. An ignorant society cannot be a democratic society. Someone should whisper in the ears of the people at the SABC that they cannot be like bulls in a china shop. To think they cannot be touched is a very mistaken view. Hmm. We are hoping the SABC will realize that defying calls by society will not make it a better public protector, public broadcaster.
Sorry. No.
But the key thing is, nothing's going to happen to Saudi Motsweneng or the SABC board or any of it. Why, mark these words. At Christmas, we will all be knocking off here, going off on holiday, reading rubbish thrillers on the beach. And you know what? Saudi Motsweneng will be there with us, enjoying himself, and it will all be good, and we'll be back on the 5th or whatever of January, and he'll still be in the job.
You think so?
Because he is protected by the top person in the job.
So, and surely he must know this, because, you know, a lot of us have been criticizing Claudia and saying, this man is so stupid. But is he really that stupid, because he knows that he's going to get away with it all and that's why he's doing whatever he wants, right?
He's not stupid. He's not stupid at all. He's very sly. He's very cunning. And he knows that at the end of the day, the power still lies at the very top of the ANC and it's with President Zuma. So long as that individual wants him in the job, he's in the job. Why is it at SAA where there is no, can I just say, guys, imagine this station was being run without a finance chief, where there is no one who looks after the cash. I know we don't have much cash here.
No.
But trust me. Whether no one looks after the cash, no one looks after the, there is no one at let's just stop at SAA. There is no CEO, there is no CFO, there is no COO, there's no head of human resources. Now this week there's no head of treasury. There is no one except Dudu Mieni, who happens to be the chairperson of the Jacob Zuma Foundation and of SAA now. Now, tell me, how does it work when you say, I'm running the biggest, the best airline in Africa, and still there's no one running it?
Justice, what will it take to get the SABC back for the people? What will it take to get our national airline run properly? What will it take to get number one out of office? What will it take? There's got to be something that can be done.
There are two things. Well, I don't, you know, in Zimbabwe they're having a big debate about the pastor Ivan Mawarire.
Mawarire, yeah.
He's been charged with inciting for regime change. I personally,
by the way, he's been released. Just
he's been
this
released
morning,
yeah. This, yeah. Now the big thing for me is, I don't think we need regime change in South Africa. I think we're okay. We're a great democracy, and we, you know, you look at the opposition parties and civil society and so forth. Mm-hmm. People do great. But I think for the ANC itself, it needs to look long and hard and deep at itself and say, oops, is this the ANC or is this Zuma Incorporated? Because people seem to be happy to be members of Zuma Incorporated and to keep saying, oh, I'm voting for the ANC, when they're voting for Zuma Incorporated. The ANC on paper, the ANC in tradition, is a fantastic piece of work. But man, the ANC in action, that's another thing altogether. So I think inside the ANC a big, big conversation needs to be had, and I don't think it's been had strongly enough, robustly enough. But it will get there. I think the next 18 months for President Zuma are going to be interesting, because power is going to start to shift. Power is going to begin to shift from him, because at the moment he is the master and the commander, and he, everything that everyone does, they first look at what does Ubaba say, and then they do it. Now, as someone else begins to get closer and closer to that corner office, whether it's Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, whether it's Cyril Ramaphosa, whether it's Zweli Mkhize, people will begin to say, well, what does Zweli Mkhize say and what does Cyril say? And so you're going to see all these connections to the office of number one, whether it's at the NPA, whether it's at the Hawks, whether it's at SAA, beginning to lose the immunity from consequences that they have. And so I think you're going to see it without even saying what needs to be done.
It'll just happen.
Power is going to shift. And
what will happen to people who are protected by number one now?
Oh, you know, some will go, some will find themselves polishing the shoes of the new elite. Remember that when Thabo Mbeki was kicked out in 2008, a lot of people said, I'm leaving, and then they went back. Mm. If you think about someone like Smuts Ngonyama, who was the comical ally of the Mbeki regime, you know, he is now an ambassador appointed by President Zuma somewhere. And this was someone who had gone off to cope. Yeah. Others didn't do that. Others just said, I'm still an ANC member, but I'm going to step back a bit. We talk about Togo Didiza. She stepped down when Thabo Mbeki stepped down. A lot of people said she flirted with cope.
Pumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka.
Pumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka, other people like that. And so, you know, it they'll be back. You think about Sipiwe Nyanda, who was one of the brains behind the Zuma campaign in the run-up to 2007. Well, look at all the letters he's signing and the demands he's making for Jacob Zuma to go. You know, politics, one week in British politics is a long time, but 4 years in our politics, it can also bring about interesting changes. So I think the power will shift. I don't think there is any chance that we will have a situation here where President Zuma can stay or will stay beyond his two terms. So we're not in massive danger. The biggest problem about the Zuma presidency is that by the time he leaves, he will have compromised so many institutions. ICASA is just one. The SABC, the idea of an open, free democracy. He'll have done so much damage. That is the problem, that we now have to clean up the mess when he goes.
Now, there are a lot of things that we can discuss this morning, but you did mention you'd touch on Faith Mutambi a moment ago.
Yes.
And since we're in the area of people who the president can rely on to do his bidding, and people who are completely allied to him in every way, shape, and form, or would never have found employment otherwise. Faith Mutambi falls into that category, yes?
Yes, absolutely. I think we just need to put it on the record. If you're a member of the ANC and you're listening to this, you need to tell me, but please send me an SMS or whatever. Do people please... do they send SMSs? Send
me. It's more WhatsApp.
Sure. Okay,
days,
send me
know?
A WhatsApp. Yeah. Thank you. Send me a WhatsApp and tell me, who is in charge here? Is it the ANC or is it a minister just doing their own thing? Because it looks to me like in the communications ministry, Faith Mutambi makes up her own policy. When the ANC's communications committee says, our policy is this, she says, no way, our policy is this, and just does it. And no one seems to... That line about bulls in China shops, it's exactly her. So the ANC goes to a conference, okay? It doesn't have a meeting on the street corner. It goes to a conference on the 7th of October last year where it says, comrade, the policy of the ANC on digital migration is that it's like this, okay? Encryption is what we want. Was it encryption or no encryption? She goes out and does the exact opposite. Here we are. It's July. Okay? She defied the ANC. Has anything happened to her?
No. And by the way, nothing has happened with digital migration either. Because she's completely incompetent.
So at least if she was implementing the wrong policy...
She'd be doing something.
But she's just not... implementing it. She's lost this battle in court, and she's just defying the court. And I will. How many millions are we just flushing down the drain while appealing every sensible policy in this country? There isn't a single person, member of cabinet who's not appealing something.
Let nobody be mistaken. There is a price for the level of ignorance and incompetence that these kind of catered deployments have resulted in. And they're costing us a fortune.
It's a massive, massive, huge fortune. Everyone is fighting something in court, and we are paying for it. And that's the thing.
All right. Well, let's move on to other things. Let's just look at Britain. They've got a new prime minister this morning. She went over to Buckingham Palace and knelt before the Queen and got her instruction. But basically, this is a woman with a plan.
I'll tell you that several things that I thought are worth mentioning about this. First, it's you've got a problem. You do Brexit. The pound takes a beating. Financial services companies say, are we leaving? We're going to France or wherever they want to go. Property prices slump and people say, what's going on here? Okay. So you know that there's a problem here. You know we're facing a crisis. When did this happen? 2 weeks ago.
Right.
On the day that he loses the Remain initiative, David Cameron says, you know what? I've done my bit, but I can't lead you in this next step. So
the people have spoken, I'm out.
I'm out. Within a week, the contenders are out there. It gets done. Boom. Here we are. 2 weeks later, there's a new prime minister. She says, this is the process that's going to happen. This wasn't a move that I supported. She was a Remainer, by the way. But you know what? We're going to do it. She appoints a cabinet. She appoints a cabinet. Some people are very worried about the foreign minister. Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson is a character. Anyway, we'll get to Boris in a minute. But the key thing is she appoints a minister who will oversee the whole exit from the EU. She's on the job. She is on the job within 2 weeks. I just want us to sit back and reflect on just you referred to Faith Mutambi and implementation of digital migration.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's been going on for 15 years now. We've missed every conceivable deadline. I think all over the world, we are last in the queue of people who will migrate. Swiftness in implementation just doesn't seem to be something that we like doing. You know, it's like, so I just like, it's 2 weeks and guys are doing it. We could learn a bit about that. Like, get on with the job, guys. Get on with the job. I like it very much. I think we should learn one or two things from there.
All right. Ayanda Mabulu has painted a new work of art, which has got everybody hot under the collar.
Mm.
This is always something interesting and contentious. Who could forget the spear? And yeah. In the wake of the spear, many artists who sought to gain attention by being as outrageous in their work. But art is not for the faint-hearted.
Art is not for the faint-hearted, eh? Can I just say, I don't like his art. I'm not going to put it up in my...
No. I wouldn't want the kids to walk past that every morning.
It's quite interesting. Let's say it's a conversation piece.
But it would be fun to have as a conversation piece, but it's not my kind of art either, so you don't have to defend your subjective view. You know?
Yeah. I think I was interested in one line in what he said, and it was that he said, I want to put President Zuma right. I want to throw him, I think was the expression he used, in the faces of people so that they can see who and what he is. And I kept on thinking, well, is this, how do we work this in our conversation in the country? Is this, when things are very bad, is this a response to it? And can you say, therefore, there is something to be said about the robustness of this democracy if someone like Ayanda Mabulu says, I'm going to show you what this thing is, and I will offend you because you're not opening your eyes to how bad things are in South Africa because of the actions of the president of the country. I've been interested in some of the people who've been criticizing President Zuma lately. If you listen to someone I respect very much, someone I admire very much, Cheryl Carolus, you know, she doesn't start with the things that are happening now. She starts off with that rape trial and says, this is a man who slept with the daughter of his friend from exile, allegedly took advantage of her. And he said, and she says,
by the way, that the fact that they had sex is not for a disputable matter. All parties were agreed on that.
Yeah. No, the dispute is whether it was consensual or not. Mm. And the courts have said
it was not a rape.
It was not rape.
Right.
And that if you think about some of the things that came out of the trial, the I'll have a shower because, you know, it will mitigate against acquiring HIV and so forth and so forth. So she takes it from that. And if you listen to that kind of narrative that says, let's start here. Mm. Let's start with all the other stuff that came afterwards. Should we be surprised then by Ayanda Mabulu's art, or what people might say, no, it's not art. Should we be surprised that...
I mean, what's more offensive, a picture or someone sleeping with your daughter if they're your best friend?
And that I think is really, you know, the conversation around this Ayanda Mabulu art start for me begins to start there, that what is going on with the person. Perhaps we need to interrogate that. Is it the act or the acts we've seen from the highest office in the land? Why are we more exercised by the art, not by the acts?
Yeah.
So it's hugely problematic that we are angry at someone who says, I'm going to show you what you've got, instead of saying, I'm appalled by the things that by what we've got.
Hmm.
An interesting argument that I heard was, if we have to be completely honest, Ayanda Mabulu's art has probably been spoken in words by some people when they talk about the president and his relationship with the Guptas. People have spoken, they've said,
yeah.
They've used their words to say that this is the nature of the relationship. But all of a sudden, when it's a visual thing that's right in front of your eyes, then all of a sudden we can't handle it. And we're like, no, this is too much. You can't do this.
I do think it speaks well of us as a country that we allow even this kind of, you know, let's say provocative expression. Because you can't stop it. In a free society, this is a good thing. It is healthy, even if it's offensive.
At the end of the day, you know, Mabali, I think that's a very powerful point that you're raising. When Feki Mento was offered the job of public enterprises minister, she says, I arrived, I flew in from Cape Town. I went to the house in Saxon Wold. I hung around and, you know, just like, what's going on here? Finally, I get offered a nice meal and we eat. And then I get offered the job. And in the next room was the president of South Africa. But he didn't offer her the job. She was offered the job by the Gupta brothers. Now, if you listen to that narrative and say, what's going on here? The point you make that people have said this, and I think the word you want to use starts with an A, ends with an R, and has a hyphen. The point that is being made is that we've all said this. Because how can you be the president of a country and people are offering jobs that you should be, as the president of this country, offering? Then surely someone is doing something to someone. And you're the person who's using the tongue. So there is an issue here that we don't. And Mabulu's art perhaps says very powerfully what you're saying, people are saying. And so, you know, there are two things about the Mabulu art. One, no one is shutting that boy down. And I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I'm not going to buy that art. But man, I love the fact that he's producing it, and he's producing it, and many others will. You know, it will be great when Ayanda Mabulu produces more art like that, and no one even says a word. It's just, that's what it is.
It can do what most art does, quietly live in solitary confinement in galleries. where no one takes any note of it. Because I also find that it is often interesting to note that the people who criticize this kind of art are people who themselves have seldom, if ever, been to a gallery.
Yeah.
And suddenly suddenly discover a capacity for criticism of art when something involves a politician.
Indeed.
And just one last thing, Justice, before you go. Arms Corps apparently were hacked.
I like that story. I like that story because I think sometimes we look at ourselves and government and we say, oh, you know, we're doing this. We have these buildings and security guards at the gate, and we think this is security. What happens with this with the hacking is that these guys are allegedly connected to Anonymous, which has been hacking into all kinds of places all over the world. But we are already in a world where there are no secrets. People think, I will hide money in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
We find out. So some of the things that are being said to have been stolen or hacked or acquired by this leak, are tender documents, are invoices, are payments for all sorts of things, you know, nice gear, you know, I'm sure Ben, you know, like, oh, I'll get myself a Nyala or a Casper here. Who are we selling stuff like that to?
Nefarious government are we making deals with?
Exactly. You know, is stuff that we make in South Africa going to Eritrea to, like, shoot down people and stuff like that? That, you see, we live in a world now where scrutiny is not some journalist looking scruffy, being handed over a document. Some of these journalists are sitting there, you know,
like Edward Snowden.
Exactly. Using code, getting information from all kinds. So when, you know, as they call it, the dump happens and everyone sits there going through these documents, it will be very interesting to see exactly.
And then a lot of people will probably go to prison.
A lot of people will probably go to prison. So I just think that story is great because if you're a young politician out there and you want to change the world, just be careful, because if you don't stay on the straight and narrow, this is not the end. There's going to be more. Because there are lots of 14-year-olds sitting in a room somewhere and they are incredible at breaking into Mabale's laptop, your systems, my systems,
oh, yeah,
and getting everything. And we will know. This is an open society and it's becoming more open.
Which is a good thing. Just one last thing. I keep saying last thing because I could keep you here all morning, but you've been doing these Ipsos surveys on ENCA.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to tell Jeremy Maggs to sit up straight again last week. He was slouched in his chair. He needs a haircut too, but I'll tell him this because it's embarrassing. You can't go there and do this. So I'll do it. But you sit there with him and Marie Ipsos.
Harris, yes.
Right. And then you go through what's happening, what people are saying. The elections are only a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, yeah.
Three weeks.
They are. But what's your question exactly?
Well, what's happening? I mean, what are people saying? What are these surveys revealing in the broad spectrum?
Yeah.
Now?
Okay. There are two things. Can I quickly just talk about this? Because last Friday, there was a march on ENCA, right? Mm-hmm. And people saying, yeah, you are misleading the people.
Who marched?
It was the SACP.
How many people? Couldn't have been a lot of people. Is it a lot of people?
Let's just say every voice must be taken very seriously.
All right. Okay. even if they, we don't know the size of their constituency.
I think it was. I think there were about five, but I don't have an exact number right now.
Okay.
But anyway, so the point is, there has been huge criticism that these survey results are supposed to bring about regime change, that Julius Malema will say, but the poll showed that I was getting 11% or 12% or whatever, and if he gets 6, it will be no, the election was rigged. I just want to say, man, this South Africa sometimes it appalls me and it surprises me. Everywhere in the world, these kinds of polls are done. They are faulty. They have their problems. People will ask you. I think the first thing you asked me about 4 weeks ago was,
How credible are they?
What kind of sampling is done? Is the guy in
Harankua
being surveyed, or is it a guy in Waterkloof and therefore it's skewed and so forth? These are legitimate social science methodology questions. Everyone must ask those questions. But when you start saying
no,
so what is now being questioned is the whole idea of science. Okay? that we can't do this. Stop it. Basically, people are marching on ENCA saying, do not use any kind of
fact,
credible social science
research
method.
Research.
Exactly.
The means every doctorate in the country has ever been handed out by.
But exactly. So what's a PhD in sociology mean in South Africa? A PhD in psychiatry? This is, for me, it's extraordinary. It comes from the SACP. An organization based on scientific socialism, scientific materialism, all this stuff that we learned in first year. Okay?
No, but it's ideology and opinion versus fact.
Exactly. So that's the first thing. I've just been so disappointed by the idea that we cannot use any kind of, you know, there's a big debate about methodology and about whether these polls actually work. If you look at Brexit, lots of people said no.
They called it wrong.
Not all of them, but most of them called it wrong. You look at the British election last year, they called it wrong. They said David Cameron won't win, and he got an outright majority. So question that, but don't say stop it. Because there's a fundamental problem here. You look at yesterday, Donald Trump running around at interviewing his potential vice president, You know that today in the U.S. there are two polls that people are looking at that are running, and they are showing that because of the scandal around the mail server and so forth, Hillary Clinton's popularity has gone down.
And then, of course, we have crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck.
Exactly. So, Richard Hillary. So you have that. Now they are neck and neck. I mean, her lead is 3-point lead. Now, are people saying this is the final result? This is what?
No.
It's an interesting talking point.
Exactly. It's giving us a trend. And so, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
So what are the trends according to the methodology?
The trends, and today we'll be getting the latest ones from last week. Mm-hmm. But over since the 20 protest, you've seen a lot more people. We've had a big turnout of people or showing of people saying, I don't know, I don't want to tell you who I'm going to vote for. So the unknowns have been quite significant. But in all three metros that we've looked at, Tshwane, Nelson Mandela Bay, Johannesburg, the DA is ahead. But the DA traditionally has had its members very keen to say, yeah, you know, I'll tell you I'm going to vote DA. The ANC has been... In Johannesburg, it's been interesting for me because the Johannesburg and Pakstawu and the ANC in Johannesburg, I think, have run a pretty good campaign. Someone down the line must write a story and a piece about the number of City of Joburg adverts that I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of them, but, you know, that's, we can talk about that. But I think they've run a pretty good campaign. I'm surprised that the DA is ahead in the City of Joburg, despite the fact that I think Herman Mashaba, for all his fantastic qualities as a business person, I think his campaign has been appalling. And we've read the reports that the DA has said his team needs to step aside, and they've actually sent in another team to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, to help him.
But Herman Mashaba is underwhelming when he talks about politics.
Yeah. I think when he talks politics,
he's not at Claudio Motsoeneng levels.
Oh, no.
But he is not he's not sterling. I mean, Parksdale, when he speaks, you can hear there's a man who's experienced in politics.
Yeah.
There's a man who understands how little or much to say.
And he understands cities and how they run.
I mean, Herman Mashaba, I think he, you know, he imagines that everything can be broken down into its business parts.
Exactly. And I think that's the mistake. I don't think he's just been sat down and, you know, he's had 7 months now. He announced in January, and you don't see the sort of maturity.
No, I think Solim Simanga in Tswane has done a much better job.
Exactly. And that might be something to talk about as we get closer to the election or whenever, about how the people who come from inside a political party, not the helicoptered in, because there are two. There's Khalib Khatshalia in Ekurhuleni. There's Herman Mashaba here in Joburg. Both of them are not traditionally from the cities, and so they've come in, and I haven't seen their.
And Togo Didiza has been helicoptered in Tswane as well.
That is absolutely true. Well, you could also say the same thing about Denny Jordan. So you don't see that authenticity in their campaigns. Whereas you talk about Parksdale, you talk about Msimang, that there is a real sense that these are guys who are there, who know what those cities are about, and it's an interesting thing. Anyway, so the polls are showing the DA is leading, the ANC is close by, and the EFF is basically doubling its support from 2014. Yeah. So it's running at about 11-12%. What's interesting for me is that it's also doing about the same numbers in the city, in Nelson Mandela Bay City, where Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, where traditionally, well, I mean, it's had pretty little. What I find interesting also about Nelson Mandela Bay is that COPE is nowhere to be seen, UDM is nowhere to be seen, and that was supposedly the stronghold for those two parties. But I think the real election is happening in Tswane, and it's happening in Nelson Mandela Bay. Those are the two that I think
I think we need to talk about a possible election special that we may need to do.
We might need to do that. I think we might need to do a coalition special. Ooh. Because there is something to be said about the fact that I think it was Gwede Mantashe said in the past week that no, we're not going to talk about coalitions. The DA is saying let's talk about elections on the 4th when we've got the numbers. The EFF has been very clear that let's talk about it. They are very open about it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to vote for the ANC in Tswane and the ANC won't tell you who they're going to jump into bed with next on the 4th or 5th or 7th of August, do you want to vote for them? But if you vote for the EFF, you know that the EFF says...
We'll sleep around with anyone.
The EFF actually is saying...
But that's also because they're kingmakers.
Yeah.
They're in the unique position that they're unlikely to win it outright.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
They must be open to the outcome.
They are very open to it. And actually, they're not saying we're going to sleep around. They're saying we're going to sleep with the DA. Whether they like it or not, we're asking them, come here, my brother. Come here. I'm waiting for you. You know, an ANC EFF coalition is pretty unlikely, but you know, things
never
can
say
happen.
Never.
Yeah.
Thank you, Justice. The Burning Platform, an extended version today. Lots and lots of questions, lots and lots of comments. Avi saying, the polls are sending an early message to the ANC. I love it. On vacation, but I woke up for the Burning Platform. Justice never disappoints. Tyrell saying, Tyrell Padiachi saying, are we waiting for the president to cause a catastrophe before we kick his ass out? Because it feels like nothing he is doing now is bad enough when actually it is. And Jocelyn saying, Justice, why can't Cloudy be physically removed from the SABC building? Well, go ahead, Jocelyn. Let's see how well you do. Lead the charge, baby. We'll be right behind you.
We'll be cheering along from the
we'll
sideline.
We'll sit here. And you know? But thank you very much. All right, Justice, thank you. That's the Burning Platform, everybody, brought to you by Nando's. He will be back next Thursday, and we'll talk about an election special.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com. This is cliffcentral.com.